Don't forget how to entertain strangers. So remember them that are in bonds as being bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body.
Mm.
Now, marriage is honorable in all, unless you're a priest in the Catholic Church.
That's great.
Let's deal with some of these traditions, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what happens.
Yeah.
Because they're the only ones who actually really prop up this thing about priests.
Right.
Now, Episcopalian and some other, they got priests, but not like this kind of priesthood that they got. Mm-hmm. They got a whole different kind of priesthood. They got their own little system of the Levitical priesthood going on in the Catholic Church. Babylon.
Oh, okay.
The whore.
Right.
Y'all give me 1 minute, please.
Okay.
Babylon the whore.
Okay. I had to show my daughter some tough love. Okay.
Turn the music down.
Okay. So marriage is honorable in all. The bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge.
Yeah.
Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Along with the gluttonous and the liar and the thief. See, all of that still apply. So yeah. we're not escaping that stuff now.
Right.
But let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what you have. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many of you all are aware that God's presence is with you all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Let me say it again. How many of us are aware God's presence is with us all the time, 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year? How many of y'all believe that? So why do we spend an inordinate amount of time praying for God to send his presence? Just a question. Not y'all. Yeah, not y'all. I'm talking mm-hmm. about everybody else.
Well, that's
because what preaches real good. Mm-hmm. If y'all would get your life together and y'all stop doing this and y'all stop doing that, y'all stop doing nothing, we would experience the presence of God in ways that you never imagined. That preaches good. It also puts people under a lot of guilt and condemnation because they're believing it's something that they're doing that's withholding the presence of God. God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you.
Come on. He said, well, two.
Now, you might not be conscious and aware of the presence. So what do you have to do in light of what you can't see, feel, taste, touch, or hear? What do you have to do?
You need to have faith. Have faith.
You need to have faith.
There we go.
So when you don't sense his presence with you, you have to exercise faith because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You have to exercise your faith.
Right.
God's not a feeling, but he can be felt.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that was good. I like that. God's not a feeling, but he can be felt.
Right.
Question. Is the wind present when it's not blowing?
Yes.
Yes. Most definitely.
And Jesus says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Even when it's not windy outside, there's still wind.
Right.
So when you can't sense God's presence, he's there.
Still there.
Well, how do you know? Because he said he'll never leave me nor forsake me.
Right.
And never means never.
Mm-hmm.
In the Hebrew and Greek?
In the Hebrew, Greek, Latin, Portuguese, Spanish.
Because it's always us that leaves him.
You have the choice to leave him, yeah.
I mean, you know, people just leave him. And I mean, they just, like you say, he never leaves us, but we leave him. But like you say, it's our choice. Because
where can you go to get away from the presence of God? Where are you going to go where God ain't?
Nowhere.
So how are you going to leave them? You can't.
No, but in their faith, they leave him.
No. Let me try. I understand what you're saying, but I'm trying to clarify this for a particular reason, though, because many people think they've left the presence of God. I'm talking about believers. Well,
mm-hmm.
Who are one, you know, I'm talking about people who are really, like, really, you know, serving God acceptably. And mm-hmm. they may not sense the presence of God. And they may think they've left the presence, or they did something where the presence has departed, or they got into an act of disobedience. They got into mm-hmm. an act of disobedience. And now the presence doesn't seem to be there. Why everybody won't call me tonight? Now y'all know I don't never get this many phone calls during class.
You got Grand Central Station going on, huh?
Yeah, but I know what to do though. But so I mean, a person could, if they wanted to, a person could separate themselves from God. They'd have to walk away from the covenant.
Yeah.
But just to say, well, you know, today somebody says, well, you know, I don't really feel that, you know, so I don't want to be in the presence of God today. Mm-hmm. No, God's presence is still there.
Right.
They're just not aware of it. Mm-hmm. Does that help? I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I want us to be clear of, okay, here you go. I want us to be clear of how hard it is to get away from the presence of God.
Right.
So the psalmist could say, where can I go?
Where can I go?
Yeah.
If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I descend into the depths of the earth, you're there.
Yeah.
Where can I go where God's presence isn't? There is nowhere God is not present. That's why he's the great I am. He's everywhere.
Right. Okay.
In his fullness, all the time. The blessing of the new covenant is that for Israel, the presence was shut up behind the veil. Where?
Holies of holies. In the tabernacle.
In the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
And who could go in there?
Only the high priest.
Only the high priest. This is what the book of Hebrews is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Under the new covenant, where's the presence of God?
Everywhere.
On the inside.
Okay, but let's be more specific.
Falling on the inside.
It's inside. On the inside.
Okay.
It's one of the big differences.
Yes.
With the Melchizedek priesthood versus the Levitical priesthood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why people would choose to be under the law is beyond my imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But some do. And God's presence is still there with them because he knows their heart. So if people are doing it in ignorance, but they're really searching after God, God is there with them and he will lead them into the truth. He got you here, didn't he?
You know, so it's funny. I don't mean to interrupt, but I mean this has just been so much fun, you know. And one of the things I'm sitting here thinking, I've heard pastors, many pastors say, I need to go be in the presence of God to prepare my sermon, to be in the presence of God. And so that's like, when I hear that, I think of like how many pastors I've heard say, I need to go get in the presence of God.
Because that's their thinking. God is still the other. That's a good way to put it. He's the other. Jesus introduced the God who is Father. The religious order knew a God who was other, so they had to go to the temple. Yeah, y'all seeing the difference here? But this is how religious systems are operating. This is literally how they're operating today. It also gives the man, it also gives the pastor, preacher, evangelist, apostle, prophet, whoever, whatever. It also gives them a mystique and an aura of holiness that the average person doesn't have. Mm-hmm. See, I spend time in the presence of God to get this message. At least you could show up to hear it. Because what I have to tell you is from God. Mm-hmm. And if you want to hear God, you better come and listen to what God has given me to tell you. Excuse me, I can talk to my daddy myself.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Doesn't mean he doesn't have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but their job is not to hear from God for them.
That's right.
It's to build them up in their faith so that they're walking in their calling effectively.
Right.
So you could say it's our job to help people know how to hear their father when he talked to them, not to hear from their father for them. You got to watch these folk always got a word for you. God Brother told Darryl. Me tell you. Yes, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Brother Darryl, okay, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I believe this too. But what confuses me is that when we're talking and the Holy Spirit brings something to our remembrance, why don't we say, thank you, God, instead of thank you, Holy Spirit?
Why would that be?
We say thank you, God, instead of
the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit God?
Comforter.
Yes.
Is God the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Yes.
So do you think if you say God, the Holy Spirit knows you're talking about him? I know I'm making kind of light of it, but I'm only doing it because this is how we've been indoctrinated by religious systems. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So who do I pray? Okay, so I pray to God, but I gotta say in Jesus' name. So am I praying to the Father? Am I talking to Jesus? Am I talking to the Holy Spirit? Is Jesus in me? Is the Holy Spirit in me? Is the Father in me?
They're all one.
That's confusing.
Yes.
Seriously. Jesus just said, look, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
God is a spirit. Okay. But and all of that can be very, very confusing.
Yes.
So should I say thank you, God? Should I say thank you, Father? Should I say thank you, Jesus? Should I say thank you, Holy Spirit? Man, the Holy Spirit just revealed something to me. Thank you, Jesus. Well, no, Jesus didn't reveal it to Holy Spirit, so I should be saying thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is, I'm going to write a book on when to pray to who. But and we're laughing, but you know what? People have done that.
Yeah.
I've read some books on prayer Just like you got to be a scientist.
Well, and it's all a matter of the heart. It's our relationship with him. And yes. He knows.
So, and he's not intimidated because they're one. But you know what we do as religious people? Not sure, I'm just saying in general. What we do? Okay, so when you say he's one, what exactly do you mean by one? What does one mean? One mean one.
They long.
Are they three in one? Are they one in three? I mean, how does that work?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm spirit, soul, and body.
How's that work?
I'm one person. How's that work? So where does my spirit end and my soul pick up? I can clearly see my body.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way anybody actually knows Daryl exists, because we are in this natural world, mm-hmm. there has to be a visible manifestation of Daryl. That's my body.
Yep.
So what did God do when he incarnated in Jesus? He gave a visible manifestation of himself.
Yes.
So Jesus could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Come on.
I am a manifestation of the Father in the flesh.
In the flesh.
Ah, glory. Did that just confuse anybody? It did. If it confused you, call me this week and we can talk about it.
Okay, I'm going to call you this week.
Oh, Lord. No, call me. We can talk about it. But this is all I'm really trying to say. Religion has messed us up.
Yes.
I didn't say Jesus. I didn't say our relationship with the Father. I didn't say that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about religious systems have messed us up when it comes to us understanding our relationship with the Father. And until we get clear on that, it's difficult to walk by faith.
Yeah, that's true.
It's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, religious systems.
Yeah, you know, I gotta go get somebody to, now, I believe in prayers of agreement. Y'all know that. I believe Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. I believe that there's power in agreement. So I'm not saying anything about that. But we've taken this thing to the extent, you know, if I really want to get a prayer answered, I better go to sister or brother so-and-so, because I know they can get a prayer through. You ever hear people say that? If you really want
They say prayer warriors.
Yeah, they're prayer warriors. Mm-hmm. And that's good. I don't have a problem with that, you know. But I don't need a prayer warrior to get a prayer to the Father.
That's right.
Or prayer intercessors.
Yeah, I don't need an intercessor. So, you know, they can keep their book. $49.99. Yeah, how to become an intercessor. We've just marketed this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all we've done. We've marketed this stuff. If you really want to hear from God, go to a prophet. Because we know a prophet hears. Really? So, why did the donkey have to speak? Never mind. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
When the donkey spoke to the prophet. Because the prophet couldn't see the angel standing in the pathway with a sword drawn. But the prophet is a seer.
Right.
But he couldn't see.
Couldn't see.
Right.
A prophet who can't see. And we live in a time we filled with prophets who have no vision.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah said they got a vision and a dream of their own heart.
Yeah.
They went and they said, God said, I ain't said nothing to them.
Right.
I didn't send them prophets, yet they went.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Prophet and priest, they're all profane. Mm-hmm. God said, that's the problem with my people. Read the book of Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. He said, the problem with the people is the prophets and the priests. Mm-hmm. That's the problem with the people. The problem with the church, the problem with the body of Christ. Man, I feel like I'm back on, what's that platform?
Periscope.
What was it? Yeah, Periscope. I almost feel like I'm back on Periscope. I used to do 2-hour scopes talking just like this. The problem with the people are the prophets and the priests. Mm-hmm. That's the problem with the people. Mm-hmm. They drunk on wine. Right. That's why they all running around talking about this new wine that God pouring out. God give them new wine, new wine. No, you drinking the wine of Babylon. That's what you drinking. That's the wine you drinking. Mm-hmm. You drunk. You in bed with Jezebel and don't know.
Right.
You know, join yourself to a harlot and don't know.
Don't know.
Revelation 18, Mystery Babylon, woman riding on a beast with a golden cup in her hand with wine, dripped in gold, adorned in jewels. Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. Who's that? That's the apostate church. Who we think it is?
The apostate church.
It's the apostate church. The true church is in Revelation 12. Mm. She's adorned in white. Mm-hmm. Let me get back to Hebrews. I don't know how I got there. Okay. So let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with what you have, because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah, that's how I got there. So that we can boldly say, see, he said, I'll never leave you. I want y'all to catch this. Mm-hmm. He said, verse 5, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Mm-hmm. He says, so I can say.
Right.
So what I say is based on what he said. Not what I said, it's based on what he said.
Right.
So my faith is rooted in what he said. Faith come by hearing. And hearing come
by the word.
By the word. But you got to know what he said.
All praises.
All praises. It's clicking. I see the glow on you. It's clicking. Now watch. So he said, remember them which have the rule over you, that's your leadership, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. So Paul could say, follow me
as I
follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ, don't follow me.
Don't follow me.
Because I got a title.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
Or a church, mm-hmm. or a mega church, or mm-hmm. a big conference.
Right.
Follow me because I'm apostle or prophet, so and so. No, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, if I'm going to follow somebody as they're following Christ, don't I still need to know how Christ was?
That's right.
Yeah.
To know if this person is following him?
Yes.
So I got to know for myself before I can follow somebody. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
Oh,
otherwise,
my.
You just the blind leading the blind.
And if the blind lead the blind, they both going in the ditch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. This is good. So now, who's faith following, considering the end of their conversation? So Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Does that imply he doesn't change?
Yes.
Yes.
So if I can read that he did it back then and he doesn't change,
right,
he'll do it today.
Yes.
But I thought he stopped doing that kind of stuff when the apostles died. Because in the very next verse, watch verse 9, and don't be carried away with various and strange doctrines. It's good that the heart is established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied by them. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Now he's tying back into what they were doing under the Levitical priesthood. Because this gets into their dietary laws.
Right.
He said, we have an altar, but they don't have any right to eat that serve the tabernacle. So in other words, all that stuff that they're doing down there at the tabernacle, all that stuff on them altars and all that stuff, they eating. Okay, sis. All that stuff that they're going through, they don't have no right to eat at our altar. It's a different altar. It's a different priesthood. Okay. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. So, wherefore, Jesus also, so that he could sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Where was Jesus crucified? Was he crucified in Jerusalem, in the temple?
No.
Where was he crucified?
Outside.
At Golgotha.
At Calvary.
At Calvary. Fulfilling the law. So let's go unto him outside the camp, bearing the reproach. We don't have a continuing city here. We seek one to come. I'm going to read this last verse and I'll be done. Well, two more. I got to do the salutation. Oh, pray for us that we have a good, okay. Obey them that had to rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, so that they can do it with joy, not with grief. That would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us. We trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. So Paul just saying, you know, pray for us. We going through some stuff. All right, but we want to see you again. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in what?
In every good work.
Do his will.
Every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Question. Who is doing the work that we do? Because we know it ain't about works.
Yeah.
All right.
It's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Now may the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. So the believer does have work to do. So because we're not under the law, thereby justified or anything by works, there's still a work that we have to do. But it's God who is working in you that which is well-pleasing.
Yes.
He said, that other place, God is in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So even our good works are the result of his indwelling. But we all have good works. But our good works didn't save us.
That's right.
Our good works are a result of our salvation.
Yes, sir.
Because the Father is in us.
Right.
That's how he kind of closes up the book. And you can read the rest of the salutation, but so that's where he starts. That's where he ends. Yeah. He opens the book. I gotta read it. He opens the book, God, who is sundry times and in divers manners, spoken time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And he closes the book saying, now may the God of peace that brought again the Lord Jesus from the dead make you perfect in every good work. Mm-hmm. Everything is a result of his work in Christ.
Right.
Hebrews is just revealing his priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did.
Wow.
Hope y'all got something.
Yeah, this was good. I did.
It's been a great class.
It has been, and I enjoyed it.
So I will have this loaded up. And again, if you have any question on, especially the content from the book of Hebrews, feel free to reach out, or any other question relative to anything. As you all know, all of the sessions, I mean, they're there. So you can be going back and pulling them and listening to them and digging into it. And I'll keep everybody posted on when the next class will be starting.
Yes, please do.
But it'll probably be the 1st of January. But I really enjoyed y'all in class, though. I enjoyed having you all.
Thank you, Brother Dale. I've learned a lot. Good.
That's the objective. So what y'all have before we close out? Anybody?
No. I'll be texting you.
All right. Okay, well, who'd like to close out the class in prayer? Until we meet again. Okay, I will. Father, again, we thank you for just the opportunity to have come together and to look at your word, to learn more about Jesus, about our redemption, about our covenant, about the great work that you've done through Christ and you're continuing to do in us. And Father, I pray that as the material that we've covered, the reality, the truths, the insights, the understandings that have been shared over these weeks will continue to just unfold within our hearts, within our mind, within our understanding, most of all, within the way we live our lives before our brothers and sisters and those in the world. Father, we thank you so much for everything that you've done. And we pray that as we go through the next 2 months, maybe not in fellowship with one another, but let us keep one another in heart and mind and prayer. Father, let your peace, power, preservation, and prosperity continue to be within us. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, y'all enjoy, and we will talk soon.
Thank you, brother.
All right. All right. Blessings.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Yeah, let me pick your brain real quick.
Okay.
You know, I was in Perth Amboy last week. The week before that was down in Baton Rouge. That's what we was talking about earlier today. Worship service.
Mm-hmm.
It irritates me. come on, let's pray in your heavenly language so we can usher in the presence of God. Like,
mm-hmm.
Where is this coming from?
Yeah.
So y'all just assuming everybody in here is safe for one.
Yeah, that's number one. Yeah.
For one, y'all assuming everybody's in here. Then they say, right. If you have your heavenly language, pray so we can usher in. I'm just sitting back and I'm just looking at folks. They're looking at me like I'm strange and looking crazy because I'm like,
yeah.
I said,
right.
His presence is already here. What are we going to be conjuring up?
Right. Right.
You know, I'm thinking, okay, what are we conjuring up?
Yeah.
You know, and then there was some deliverance that was taking place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A young lady came in with in a wheelchair. I'm like, okay, Lord, you're going to heal her today. I said, I pray for her. I ain't got no problem. But let me
right.
Say my lady, say my thing.
Right.
You know, they prayed for this young lady, told her to get up and walk. And I'm like,
Did she get up?
Well, with help.
That's generally the way it go. Did they put her back in it? Did they sit her back down after she got up?
Yes, she did. And she was there for 3 days. And each day she needed help getting up.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, Lord, I know you a healer because you did it back then, you still do it today.
Right. Yeah, and even in that, you know, it gets into a thing and I don't I don't like to seem, you know, to be a skeptic or nothing like that, but I mean, I believe in healing. I believe in miracles because I've been in services where God did it. So that's not the question. But the question, I think, and a lot of it goes back to what we're talking about, though, right? What we talked about tonight.
Yes.
That, okay, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. If he did it back then, he'll do it now. We know he's here because he's present. And we know he always responds to faith. So why is it so difficult for us to get people healed? What is it that we don't believe is actually present? Because we got to pray in a language, you know, tongues, to usher in
his presence.
The presence.
Wait.
Okay. So who's actually believing that the presence is there to heal?
Here.
Because first of all, what the text actually says, Peter said, by his stripes you were healed. Okay. So are we receiving our healing that he already paid for? Or are we trying to like negotiate something with him to get healed? So are we really in faith? See, right. I mean, it starts getting into that, you know, and you kind of sit and you watch. And when you've been around it, you know, because I mean, I grew up in this stuff, you know, I grew up in a lot of it. And then you start getting into some of the stuff that's actually in the text. And you start going into some of these services, you know, you'd be sitting there and you'd be like, man, what is?
Yeah.
He'd be like, this must be how Jesus felt when he went to the temple. Because it's the same thing.
My wife said, why didn't she get healed? I said, well, there's only a few times I know when Jesus went home, he said he could only do a few miracles because of lack of faith.
That's what he said. But what we will do as leaders, we will convince the people that the lack of faith is on their part. They don't have faith. See, because if y'all have faith,
yeah,
and y'all was tithing the way y'all should be.
Come on, that day. Oh, my goodness.
We'd be getting all kind of people healed. If y'all was doing what you're supposed to do, because I was in the presence last night, and what God told me was, What God told me is one of the reasons certain things can't happen is because the body as a whole, and then we try to the body as a whole corporately. So what we need to spend some time just praying in the spirit to get in the presence. All right, so now you're telling, so now people are feeling like, oh, okay. So people, so we're not seeing the activity of God because basically I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Because we're all going to internalize it, because none of us are going to say, well, it's everybody but me.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to internalize it. And when you're constantly sitting under that year after year after year, and even your faith teaching and all of this stuff is telling you that. Who? Wow. That's what I always told people when I was pastoring. And they used to, you know, some of them used to laugh. I said, it's actually easier to get an unbeliever healed than it is to get a believer healed.
Yeah. It is. Because they ain't got
all that baggage, man. They don't have it. They don't have it. You've got to get deep ingrained in the church world to really have to deal with unbelief. Getting rid of unbelief.
Getting rid of it is
because the bad teaching. Yeah, man, that's the,
you know, and the generational curses. I'm talking to the demon. How long you been in there? I break the stronghold from your father. I'm like,
yeah. Listen,
no more.
I told somebody, man, I used to make people mad, man, in dealing with some of that stuff. But I said, listen, okay. All right, let's say this. Let's say that generational curses do exist. This is how I would deal with it, right? Let's say they do exist. And let's say, because in the natural, I've got these generational curses. Okay. But I got born again. So my old man is dead, and I'm a new creature in Christ. How can I have a generational curse? What's a demon in your flesh? I can't have a demon. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. There's nowhere for a demon to be. Plus, the scripture said, he died, he became a curse for me, so that the blessing of Abraham. So if he became a curse, and I'm identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection, how can I be in him and still be cursed? So now you got Christians believing that they curse, trying to get healed, trying to walk in the blessing. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Yeah, that's why I told them, you know, beware of them strange doctrines. Yeah. Hey, Jackie, yeah.
All right, man, I'm going to let you go, man. I'm going to stop.
All right, I appreciate you.
I'll blow you up a little bit more.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, because
lock my phone, my number in your phone with Lawrence on it.
You say what?
I said, make sure you put me in your contacts as Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, okay. yeah, I will.
Okay, I will, but who's this? Lawrence.
Oh, no.
Man, if you lock my phone
in
your daggone.
I'm like that though, but sometimes I be doing something and my phone be ringing. I'm like, hello. I see a number. Okay, and who's this? Oh yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I gotta go in and put the name in there. Yeah, all right. Definitely.
I'm gonna let you go, man.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll talk soon, though.
For sure.
All right, man. I appreciate you.
Love you, man. Bye-bye.
All right.